We're speaking with Vicente Panama Alba from the Laborers Local 108. And we will shortly be joined by Charlie Kernaghan from the National Labor Committee. Panama, one of the things that I can't help but move into, as we look at the issues of oppression within the workforce that you currently represent, since you were a young pup coming up in the...
Trying to call me old.
Not at all. It's all a matter of the vitality of spirit that defines it, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm glad you see it that way.
Oh, absolutely. But you... I don't know, you probably don't even remember me, but I knew you back when you were with the Young Lord Party, and you have been a fighter against police abuse of power. You've really melded in your work life, in your personal life, the issues of the working class and oppression against people of color, Puerto Rican people, people from the Latino community throughout this city, and indeed looked at international issues. I can't help but reminisce for a moment on what has BAI meant as a vehicle of communication for progressive forces, and why did you take it upon yourself not only to be here today, but to provide us with a very large rubber rat, 12 feet, from the laborers' locals to...
Not in the studio today. That was last week.
I told him to bring it in here today. But it was at a demonstration in front of this studio, and it was to show support of labor and to show what people think or about management that fires and suspends and bans and takes actions that is unilateral and authoritarian. Why are you involved? Why do you concern yourself with those kinds of things?
Well, I tell you, when we touch on the issue of WBAI, I'm going to be very candid, and if some folks get offended, so be what it may.
Offended at WBAI never happens.
Hey, I know things that, you know, nerves are raw and the like, but, you know, I've been a listener first to BAI back when they had a show called Palante that came out of the
Oh, yes.
I was a teeny weeny toddler back then. But
a
in
toddler,
any case,
yes.
In any case, you know, from those days on, I've been a listener. It's been important because at times when issues and struggles that mainstream media does not want to touch, you could always try and usually get WBAI to cover an air and expound on the situations that we're facing in communities. You know what I mean? You've heard the cliche that, you know, usually the media doesn't cover something that happens in our community, in the Latino and Black community, unless, you know, we set the place on fire, unless there's a riot, unless some shooting. And, you know, that tends to be true a lot of times until there is a crisis type of situation. Mainstream media will ignore situations in our communities. And over the years, we have been able to again and again rely on WBAI to get our message out, to expound on our points where other people would not make that available. And so, you know, when you hear about what's taking place in BAI, you have to take a stance. It's an absolute necessity, at least from the where I'm standing. I think that, and being candid, you know, I think that the situation in BAI could have perhaps been avoided had we had the foresight, okay, to see what was coming down the pike and taking different steps. I think that unfortunately there was certain tribalism that was existing within WBAI in terms of groups of people that were not necessarily working together. And though, even though we all talk about the danger of the divide and conquer type of situation, there was some divisions here that we unfortunately were unable to overcome. And I think that it's out of that Pacifica Board, you know, made its move, and it was surgical. And we have certain divisions amongst even the progressive folks here that are very unfortunate. We were vulnerable and stayed vulnerable. And I think that is part of the reason why we find ourselves in this situation. And I think it's important to talk about it. It's not because you want to beat a dead horse. But I think that if we don't take a grasp of what's going on here seriously, and we don't understand how it's being manipulated, we will not succeed in our fight to overcome the present situation. I realize now that what's taking place in WBI is a corporate takeover. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, that the table has been getting set for the time when BAI will be ripe for the picking. Ripe for the picking meaning the time when I think they could take a radio station and a place in the FM dial. I remember 41 years ago when BAI was donated, FM radio was not something that was, you know, in great demand. But 41 years later, the FM dial is saturated, and the value of WBAI, by New York Times standards, they talk about between $250 and $400 million. There's a lot of people who would love to get a piece of that in terms of money and the profit that it could make if you privatize it.
Well, we would like to also bring into the discussion now Charlie Kernaghan, who is with the National Labor Committee, who we have always known as a very mellow fellow, who has never been known to be aggressive or to raise his ire against the corporate takeovers.
Just don't call him a cream puff, okay?
I certainly and I meant that Charlie. Very affectionately and very adoringly. Yeah. They're much softer sometimes than they do appear to be, and that's good. Charlie Kernaghan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Why don't we start by discussing what are some of the most immediate campaigns that the National Labor Committee is involved in?
Good. It's good to be here. We've got a bunch of stuff. We're continuing to pursue this Taiwanese-owned company in Nicaragua, which months ago fired several hundred workers when they asked for an 8-cent wage increase. And they were sewing clothing, dungarees actually, for Kohl's department store and Walmart and Target and the rest. They're also making clothing for the U.S. military, which we didn't know at the time. That the U.S. military is one of the biggest sweatshop abusers in the world, runs one of the biggest retail industries in the world, dealing with PX bases. PX stores are bases around the military bases around the world. We're looking now at a case in American Samoa where clothing is made that says made in the USA by women from Vietnam who are being held as indentured servants in Samoa, who are beaten, slapped, kicked, housed 20 people to a room, fed a thin gruel, watery gruel of rice and cabbage, suffering malnutrition, where the boss comes in and watches the women shower and dress, where they have no rights, where they're basically paid infrequently, and they're making clothing for JCPenney and for Sears. And, you know, it's just endless, and cases in China and whatnot. I mean, it's a pretty horrible global economy with no checks and balances. But like, we're used to fighting this stuff. We're used to fighting the major corporations on firings and lockouts and harassment and monitoring. In fact, in China, it's even reached the point there where to deal with all these phony monitoring groups that the workers in China are being coached what to say back to these so-called auditors.
Do you know, Charlie, one of the members of the Pacifica National Board, Bertram M. Lee, was actually the first African-American to be seated on the board of Reebok. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about the way talking about monitoring groups, etc. Reebok and Nike, of course, continue to function.
Well, Reebok is actually one of the cases I'm talking about in China. You know, they have put a human rights office in one of these giant factories that produces Reebok sneakers. Well, of course, the management then put an office right next to their human rights office. And every worker knows that if you go into that Reebok office, when you come out, you're going to go into that management office and you're out of there. And you're going to be hounded, you're going to be fired, and you're going to be harassed. This is typical stuff. But workers have gone so far as to tell us, like I was saying, that they're actually coached and threatened and then tested on the answers that they'll give back to these auditors, and they'll be examined like three times on this. The third time, if you get the answers wrong, you're fired. So workers are beginning to say, enough already. Stop the phony corporate monitoring. We've had it. But to have to turn back and see BAI, I mean, the other night when I was there, I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, we're used to going to demonstrations around JCPenney and Walmart. We're used to going to demonstrations around Kohl's. We're not used to going to demonstrations at BAI because people were fired and locked out and harassed and monitored, including paid and unpaid staff. It's really sad, very sad, sad moment.
Charlie, we're very, very glad that you came to the demonstration last week. What were your impressions of the demonstration itself last Thursday?
Good. Good and fiery. You know, I've always... It's no lie, like, say, with BAI listeners. We've done programs with 60 Minutes and gotten two phone calls in the days following the program. We've done stuff with Nightline. We've gotten three phone calls. We've done programs on WBI where within a matter of hours we've gotten 250 phone calls. There's really nothing like it. And as far as like an activist base, we wouldn't dream of pursuing a campaign or a demonstration. We wouldn't dream of it without the accompaniment of BAI, period. I mean, just it couldn't happen. Our Christmas demonstrations for the holiday season of conscience. A lot of people in the demonstration. Where there were like 3,000, 3,500 people marching, 2,000 of the kids, a lot of them were there because of BAI. So, I mean, it's a known, it's a quantity, and we take it very secretly. I mean, it's not to be taken lightly, and it's a heavyweight.
I think we certainly need to say that it is not about stabilizing the station and then tackling the issue of the national board. If they're not democratic means for the station to function on a day-to-day basis, there is no stability. It's a false guise. It's no different than the monitoring committees that you were speaking about. If people are not put in here in leadership positions by popular acclaim and by open and above board methods, if there are firings, if there are bannings, all of these things do not portend the kind of stability that would lead us to tackle the problem of the national board or portend the kind of democracy that would lead to doing programming for the working class, programming to have engaged journalism that would look at how to push forward the movements for social justice around workers and the many issues that we've been speaking about today.
I think you hit something really critical.
I think that, you know, the whole idea at this point, it appears to me to be to destabilize precisely that listening audience base, to destabilize it at a point where WBAI is on the eve of a fundraiser. If you want to privatize something, you have to make it fail and at the hands of the public, you know, domain, and so that then you could have an excuse to a reason why it has to be privatized, why corporate can do a better job. I mean, that's historically how they move on things that they want to take over. And that is exactly what's taking place. I mean, BAI is not a happy place today. Programmers, producers, people on the air are concerned about, you know, where the station is going. I'm concerned about where it's going. The listeners are concerned about where it's going. You know, we're sitting here wondering, you know, I'm wondering if they're going to come and get me out of here before this show is over.
We always wonder that every
show these days.
You know, I'm saying, but that's part of the concern across the board in the daily life of WBAI.
Well, when you don't have a democratic process, you have a chilling effect.
Exactly.
No one can ever anoint themselves as the leader and say that they are going to operate for the people. We've experienced those things historically, and we understand that it is only truly popular democracy and the empowerment, not of an individual, but the empowerment of the collective so that they can represent their own voice, that is really what certainly those of us who have been involved in social struggles have been fighting for time immemorial.
And it's that kind of freedom that allowed people at BAI to do the kind of programming that we do. people will say, oh, well, that's the way the rest of the world operates. Why can't you operate like that, which is basically an autocratic model? But we can't do that at WBAI because WBAI is supposed to be something different.
And going along that, see, and I wanted to finish a thought that I started expounding on before, which is that, you know, I think that, you know, life wasn't perfect before, but you don't go to your enemy. You don't go to the people who have as their mission ultimately the destruction of listener-sponsored radio. To go to them to empower you to supposedly change whatever you consider to be a problem in BAI as it was before.
You raised an ugly thought for me, Panama, and that was the idea of Charlie Kernaghan being brought to the studio to talk about Walmart or Target, and suddenly we realize we have corporate underwriting. We have the so-called good corporations, Ben and Jerry's, etc., who are going to suddenly branch out. You know, it was like I was telling a youngster who was watching TV that they should turn on Channel 13 as I was looking at all the commercials. And they said, but I am watching Channel 13. And this, I mean, there are people who advocate corporate underwriting. And what we should understand is that most of the people in the leadership of the National Board at this point have been helped by really complicity with local leadership. But what is most significant is that they most of them are stalwarts in the Democratic Party and in corporate America. And they sit on many, quote-unquote, liberal boards, but they certainly are not people who are willing to let the masses, the people, the grassroots speak for themselves and, yes, dominate the airwaves here, and that's part of the reality. Charlie, I just want to, with you and Panama, as we draw to our conclusion here, tell us more about what now the National Labor Committee's next campaign is and how people can enlist in that, etc.
Well, we're working undercover a little bit, actually quite a bit in China at this minute, and we'll be coming out with some material on that. We're working frantically right now around El Salvador to provide some funding and solidarity to the only union in El Salvador, whose members lost a lot of homes in the earthquake. Salvador, right now, with 229 factories, 79,000 workers, sending well over 600 million garments a year to the United States, there's not one single union, and the corporate people you spoke about, Nike and Liz Claiborne and Phyllis Van Heusen, the women have to undergo pregnancy tests in order to just get the jobs. If they're even seen meeting, God forbid, they may be organizing a union. They're fired immediately. They're paid below subsistence wages. So we're going to just fly straight ahead into fight for union rights in El Salvador, continue the struggle in Nicaragua, expand. We're about to go to Bangladesh, expand the work to women there who've told us that they're working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, and they want a day off because their families are collapsing, their children are sick, they're malnourished, they're not home to care for them. So we've got a big program over the next couple of months and weeks. And we're thankful for the enormous opening and support and the truth that you've given to this issue and your leadership.
Well, we
really appreciate it.
You don't have to go as far as Bangladesh. As you're speaking, I'm thinking about some workers at a company that I'm not going to name right now because I'm not sure if it, but who are fighting with us because our members are saying we ain't working no more 16-hour days, 6 days and 7 days a week. You know, and the company expects them, these guys to get behind the truck and haul garbage 6 days a week, 7 days a week for 16 hours, you know, and they're saying no more. So you don't have to go as far as Bangladesh and the good old U.S. of A. In the city of New York. It's happening. For ourselves, we're going to continue on a number of campaigns that we have to actively bring people working in this industry into our local and, negotiate contracts that are fair contracts where you have a living wage, where you have the benefits and the representation that I think every worker is entitled to. In addition, I personally, as an individual, also happen to be a member of the local advisory board of WBAI, and we have a board meeting that we've scheduled for tomorrow at WBAI 6:30, and one part of our agenda is open to the listening membership of WBAI, and so we encourage them to come tomorrow. I encourage them as a local advisory board member. We'll be here tomorrow 6:30 at 120 Wall Street.
This guy's an organizer.
That's the problem. We have organizers. Well, that's the problem that some people would really stamp out here. That this is, some people like to define in corporate language, this is a professional venue. I've spent a lot of my time trying to define myself, whether it's as an attorney where I happen to work or in other venues, as somebody who is concerned in any way that we can to accomplish the empowerment of the disenfranchised, not for us to represent their voice, but for them to represent their voice. And I still think this is a powerful venue to do it, and that is what must be preserved. And anybody who is complicit in the destruction of that needs to take hold of themselves, reevaluate where they are, and get on the right track. And that is the track of organizing, the track of supporting the right to associate, to freedom of speech, and the maintenance of this very precious communication venue that we have at 99.5 FM in New York. Charlie Kernaghan, how can people get in touch with the Labor Committee, the National Labor Committee?
They can always give us a call at 212-242-3821, or actually 242-3002, or they could go to our website at www.nlcnet.org. And there's tons of stuff on the website, many of these different campaigns. And, you know, the kind of show you're doing right now, when you're providing information on worker rights and the global economy, giving a voice to the voiceless workers, tying it into the labor struggle in the United States, which is as vicious and as hard as any place else, and then also bringing in the whole need for a real listener-supported station, which is also democratic and listener-controlled. I mean, it really is. It all fits together. This is all one struggle, period. It can't be divided.
Well, it does. Go to that website, get involved with the National Labor Committee, and I must admit it has one of the most vibrant and exciting group of young people who are concerning
of
themselves.
Of all ages.
Young people
from
of all
5 years old, too.
That's absolutely true. But it does have that energy of kids, which is really nice and healthy and carries movement forward. They understand the needs of the working class and how to move it forward. Charlie Kernaghan, it's been wonderful to speak with you today. We support the National Labor Committee. Thank you for the support you give us. And Vicente Panama Alba, how can people similarly be supportive of your workers and make sure that this company, which we will name sooner make sure that people have a decent wage and are not exploited 6 and 7 days a week?
There you go. Something, an allied something or other.
one of those allied groups.
If you have or know anyone working in this industry that needs to be part of a labor union, who needs to be represented, you could call us, Labor's Local 108, at 212-462-0166. And if you are a listener of WBAI and want to be a part of what is rightfully yours, which is part of the local advisory board, we'd like to see you tomorrow night. Come out at 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, 6:30 p.m. and exercise your rights as a worker or as a listener. Thank you.
And if you would like to hear more from Roger Toussaint in Taking Back the Power, New Directions in TWU 100, you can go hear that at 6:30 February 1st at 322 West 48th Street on the first floor. And it's sponsored by the Association of Union Democracy. So talk to Roger Toussaint. Find out what the transportation workers folks are doing. That's February 1st, 2001, 6:30, 322 West 48th Street, sponsored by the Association for Union Democracy. And Ken, what about your program this evening? Herb Boyd is speaking at...
Oh, we're going to plug DC-37. Okay. Yeah, Herb Boyd is going to be speaking on his new book, Autobiography of a People, 200 Years of African American History, at DC-37 tonight at 6 o'clock, 125 Barclay Street on the first floor. But I also wanted to tell people that to keep up with what's going on WBAI, call into the WBAI Listener Action Hotline at 718-707-7189. That's 718-707-7189.
Brother Panama, Vicente Panama Alba, it has been a pleasure speaking with you, and we've had Charlie Kernaghan and Roger Toussaint, two critical unionists in the city. We will continue to pay attention to what they do, and they will continue to pay attention to what we do, and to build support in the labor movement for a democratically run station. Bring all of our colleagues back who've been fired and banned. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
For Building Bridges, Your Community, and a Labor Report. Thank you for listening. Have a splendid day and a socially active month.